Let us look to the Lord in prayer. Father, I ask you now that you would bless your word to our hearts, that you would use it for your glory, that, Father, we might glorify you even as we hear the words of your voice. For it's in Christ's name we pray it. Amen. As we begin this morning, I'd like for you to turn over into your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. There was a man in our church years and years ago that you could really have said he was Mr. Worrywart. Mr. Worrywart, that is not his real name, worried about everything. And he would express to me his worry about everything. And I tried to encourage him to trust the Lord, to obey the Lord in not worrying, but it was a particular issue with him. This morning, we're going to be speaking about worry or anxiety. It's a message that I need to hear. And so if you think that I'm talking to myself, I am. But you can listen in as I talk to myself, all right? Or I'll listen in as I talk to you. And we all need to hear this, do we not? All of us here, I am sure, know that worry is wrong. We know that worry is a sin. But that doesn't stop us from doing it. And we need to do it. We need to not worry. We need to not be anxious. Our text this morning told us that be anxious or don't be careful for anything, but in everything, with prayer and supplication, make your requests be made known unto God. What do we worry about? We worry about our children. I've told you before, my mother, I can still remember her crying. And she said, I thought when the kids were married and grown and gone that all of my worries were over and all my worrying about them was done. And she, with tears in her eyes, says, it's worse than ever. She said, now I've got the in-laws and I've got the grandchildren. She says, it just has exponentially exploded. And then at the end of her life, there were great-grandchildren for her to carry a load about. We worry about family. I don't know about you, but there are times that I worry about you. Worry about people of the church. Why weren't they in church today? Were they not there because I said something that made them mad? Did I say something? Did somebody else make them mad? Why aren't they there? Why aren't they participating? And so that is one of the worries and concerns that I carry. Perhaps it's your health. And we didn't mention this morning, but there one of the ladies that comes to soccer, Mr. Sykes mentioned her last week, and she has a mass in her abdomen about the size of a tennis ball. And I talked with her at soccer and told her that we had prayed for her and were praying for her. And she said, well, don't give up. She says, I'm just naturally a pessimistic person. But she says, I'm trusting the Lord and looking for the Lord. But, you get a pain here. Well, what is that? It's heart. It's cancer. It's arthritis. It's this. It's that or the other thing. And we worry about those things. Somebody mentioned it today. We worry about the politics, don't we? Who's going to be the next president? Who's going to be the judge? Who's going to be the senator or the representative? And we could multiply examples of what we worry, what we stress about. We all do it. We all have done it. We all will probably continue to do it. And you know, the sad thing is we excuse it in one way or the other. We say, well, I just have concern. And there is righteous concern and rightful concern, and we need to do that as well. But we tend to excuse it. There is a place for legitimate concerns. You need to do what you can do, but when you've done all you can do, then that is where you need to leave it, and you take it and leave it with the Lord. All that is your responsibility, fulfill. Then we commit the things to the Lord. Brothers and sisters, as Paul wrote the book of Philippians, he wrote from the perspective of prison. He was in prison. He was in Caesar's household. And it was not an easy thing. It was not a pleasant thing, but he was in prison. Jesus, when he speaks of it, and if you're there in Matthew chapter 6, it says in verse 25, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment?" And when Jesus speaks, this is at the beginning of his ministry, and they divide Jesus' ministry up into three things: the year of popularity, the year of obscurity, and the year of persecution. Jesus does it in the scope that he is facing persecution. He's going to be facing the cross, and yet he talks about these things. And Peter speaks to it. And over in 1 Peter chapter 5, he tells us to cast all our care upon him, for he cares for us. Peter, if you know anything about the book of 1 Peter, it's about how to handle suffering. How to handle suffering. And so Peter speaks of it, Paul speaks of it, Jesus speaks of it, the writer of Hebrews speaks of it in Hebrews chapter 13. He says, know that he never leaves us nor forsakes us. And the book of Hebrews is in the context of persecution again. He says, you've not suffered unto blood yet. They've suffered. They've been persecuted, but not unto blood. There's plenty of things. Their possessions have been taken. Their persons have been abused. And yet, he tells them not to worry. Not only in these places that we've mentioned, but indirectly and directly in many other places in the New Testament, the Old Testament, Psalm 37, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 tells us this. So how do we deal with worry? How do we deal with worry? I'd like for you to, if you're not there yet, turn to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. And we're going to look at different verses here in chapter 6 of Matthew. You say, well, why did we read Philippians chapter 4? I believe that's sort of a foundation, and we're going to look at that more this evening. But this morning I want to go to verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the dealings of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. And so, how do we deal with worry? As the Lord Jesus is dealing with worry, he comes to this end, conclusion, and he says, seek first the kingdom of God. And so, how are we to deal with worry? We do so by having the right priorities. The right priorities. Seeking first the kingdom of God. Folks, worry immobilizes, paralyzes. Have you ever sat and said, I don't know what to do. There's so much to do. I don't know what to do. And so you sit and you do nothing. Worry immobilizes. And the Lord Jesus tells us there in verse 33, focus on what you're to do today. Verse 34, take no thought for the morrow. Take care of today. Look to today. This is a statement I'm sure somebody else has made it somewhere, sometime. You need to have an eternal perspective one day at a time. An eternal perspective one day at a time. So many people are so worried about eternity. They're so worried about tomorrow. They're so worried about tomorrow. The 10-year-old's worried about when they're going to get to drive. The person that gets to drive worries about when their insurance is going to come down. When the insurance comes down, they say, I'm going to be 30 soon. And they're concerned about that. And so we need to have an eternal perspective a day at a time. Start with something. I remember that many times that our children's rooms would be a mess, and my wife would go in and say, okay. And they say, I don't know where to begin. And she'd say, make your bed. Make your bed. And start doing something. Having priorities allows us to do something. I remember listening to an admiral in the Navy. And he was speaking to a graduating class, I think it may have been at Annapolis. And this admiral gave 10 things, and I've got it someplace, but I remember only the first thing. But he had 10 things that all the graduates needed to do, and he said, first thing when you get up every morning, make your bed. Here's an admiral in the Navy saying, why? Having a priority, getting started, taking care of business that day. It's an accomplish. It brings order. Disorder promotes worry. And so we want to have the correct priority, seeking first the kingdom of God. And I want to give you this morning, I believe I've got seven of them, seven things that are the correct priorities. And much more could be said, but I think that these are important. Seeking first the kingdom of God and God adding all the other things. What's the first thing? The first thing that I would like to mention to you is I believe the correct priority is the Lord's Day. The Lord's Day. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh is the Lord thy God. And so if we're going to seek first the kingdom of God, God has given us the Lord's Day as a blessing, as something to help us. It's not the Lord's hour, it's the Lord's day. It's time for worship. It's time to have our focus on Him. It's time to understand who He is and what He has done for us. Not only is it time for worship, but it's time for rest, mentally and physically. The world today is on a 24/7 clock. It used to be that the news cycle was like from 7 in the morning to 5 in the afternoon. Now it's a 24-hour news cycle. Now you can go to Walmart and shop 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. Now you can go to McDonald's and get a hamburger 24 hours, 7 days a week. And we have this cycle. And can I tell you this morning, God never meant for us to have that kind of rat race. He never, and He says, here is a day to take and to focus on Me and for you to be to have rest and be able to rejuvenate, not only physically, but spiritually, emotionally. And thirdly, I believe that it is a gathering of God's people is an antidote to worry. Folks, as we gather together to worship the Lord, I believe that that is an antidote to worry. I believe that's an encouragement. You know what? We looked at the passage this morning in 1 Corinthians 10:13. There is no temptation taking you but such as common to man. All of us deal with stresses and problems and difficulties. And I'm going to tell you, one of the problems that we have in the world today, in the church today, is we smile and we make like everything's all right. You know, when we're dealing with an issue, to say, hey, I'm dealing with something that I need prayer for. I need help with. I believe that that's a part of the coming together on the Lord's Day, of the coming together of God's people, of encouraging one another, exhorting one another, praying for one another, helping one another. God's people are worn out because they do not use the day that God has given as He intended. God's people are worn out. And let me tell you something, when you're worn out, worry is easier to come in. Anxiety is easier to come in. And so we need to seek first the kingdom of God by setting the Lord's Day aside for worship and for rest. Secondly, having our correct priorities is what we do with our finances. What we do with our... Many people stress about finances. Many people, where's the next dollar coming from? We got too much... We have too much month at the end of the check. There's more days than money. And so, can I just say, seeking first the kingdom of God with our finances, I believe that the Scripture teaches that that tithing is the best financial advice that you can give. You not only do you give God the first day, you give God the first tenth. You give Him the first part. And let me tell you something, the reason, and all I have to have is God's direction to do it, but I believe that we know the reason for it. When somebody has to figure out what a tenth is, by the way, I believe that's where it starts. That's not where it ends. But when we give the tenth, we know how much money we have. Many people don't know what how much money they have. They don't know what they're doing with their money. And tithing gives us an understanding of our finances. But more importantly, Malachi chapter 3, verse 10 tells us that he says he will rebuke the devourer. The devourer. And the devourer can come in many shapes and forms. It can come in car repairs. It can come in health concerns. It can come in loss of life. I remember one time Amanda was in the parking lot, I believe it was at Lowe's, and she was coming out of that to pay the bill, and she went to reach into her pocket for the $100 bill that she had, and it was gone. Now, for a young family, $100 is a lot of money. Maybe some of you old-timers, $100 isn't a lot of money, but I guarantee you for them, I remember the days, that was a lot of money. And you can imagine how distressed she was. She went out to the parking lot. She looked for it. She hunted for it. And finally, she went to the customer service desk and said, I've dropped $100 someplace. Has anybody turned $100 in? You know what it did to me? I had to ask myself, if I found $100 laying around someplace, what would I do with it? Say, praise the Lord, I've won the lottery without playing it. She went to the desk there, and they said, no, nobody. There was somebody that stood for 20 or 30 minutes waiting for a distressed person to come to the service desk. And she said, did you lose something? Here it is. You know what? God is able to protect our finances. One of the greatest stresses in our lives. But can I tell you, if we will put Him first, if we will seek first the kingdom of God, if we will do that which He has ordered and ordained, I believe the stresses and the worries will be much, much worse. Much, much less. Number three. A time to focus on the Lord each day. A time to focus on the Lord each day. Family devotions. Personal time with the Lord. And I would like to add thanksgiving every day. We have in that passage there in Philippians chapter 4 that we're to be anxious for nothing but in everything with prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Folks, we shouldn't wait till November to give thanks. We shouldn't wait till a Thanksgiving service. We ought to every day wake up and say, thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you, Lord, for the strength. Thank you, Lord, for the food. Thank you, Lord. You know, and maybe each day of the week have something else that you want to focus on. When was the last time you thanked the Lord for the transportation that you had?
Today.
Yeah, good. Because you know what? You may not have it tomorrow. Thank the Lord for your transportation. Thank the Lord for the measure of health that you have. You may not have it tomorrow. Thank the Lord for the eyesight that you have, the hearing that you have, the food that you have, the friends that you have, the fellowship that you have. A time to focus on the Lord each day. And I believe that it's good to start the day in that way. Now, I understand some people are morning people and some people are evening people and all. But it doesn't take long to focus on the Lord each day. Fourthly, providing for our families. Turn with me, if you will, to 1 Thessalonians 4:11. I believe that this is one of the seeking first of the kingdom of God. A lot of times we think, oh, seeking first the kingdom of God is spiritual things, and it's separate from what people call secular things. But I believe that it's all together, and it's all integrated. And 1 Thessalonians 4:11 tells us this, and study to be quiet and to do your own business and to work with your hands as we commanded you. Providing for our families. The scriptures tell us if a person does not work, neither should he eat. There ought to be physical work, I believe, as well as mental work. Some people are computer geeks or computer IT people or numbers people walking with books or people sitting behind a desk. But I think as we look here, the Apostle Paul says, you need to do some physical labor. That may be just working in a garden. That may be planting flowers. That may be walking. That may be jogging or riding a bicycle and all. But working as well physically as well mentally. But I want to add here, not only providing for our family, not only physical labors, but working together as a family. Just this week, my wife and I were together and we had a painting project. We used to do that all the time with my kids, that we'd have projects that we worked together as a family. We didn't say, go do this. We said, let's go do this. And I believe that part of the priority of working together as a family, not just mom and dad working and sending the children off to play, but together we labor. Number five, that we love the Lord with all of our being. Turn with me, if you will, to Matthew chapter 22, verse 37 through 40. Matthew 22, verse 37 through 40. It says this, Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. And this is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Number five is that we are to love the Lord with all our being. To love the Lord with all our being. And we cultivate that love. And we do it with prayer. We do it with service to the Lord. We do it with praising the Lord. We do it by listening to the Lord. All those different things. And sixthly, we love our neighbors as ourselves. Turn back with me to Matthew chapter 7. We were in Matthew chapter 6. I want to go to Matthew chapter 7 now. Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 5. Matthew 7, 1 through 5. Judge not, that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye mete, it shall be measured again unto you. And why behold thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold a beam that is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. One of the ways that we can love our neighbor as ourself is to be more concerned about our own faults than concerned about others' faults. We have a good microscope for others, but not such a good one for ourselves. And if we are to love our neighbor as ourselves, we need to look at our sin before we look at other people's sin. And then, seventhly, we see in chapter 7, verse 7 through 11, ask and it shall be given to you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you, for everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Ask, ask. One of the great antidotes to prayer is asking the Lord. And we're going to look more of that this evening from Philippians chapter 4, asking and seeking His provision. But so how do we deal with worry, anxiety? First of all, seeking first the kingdom of God, having right priorities. But secondly, by looking at the provision of the Lord. Go back to Matthew chapter 6, verse 26. Look at what it says there. Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not. You know, a lot of times I'll go down and pick up Jefferson down on Sunday mornings and we'll walk together. And as right out here in front of the church, and as you leave, you can look, this is biblical, you can look on the telephone pole. A lot of times there is a woodpecker this big. It's a huge woodpecker, and he's pecking on the thing. You can see the hole he's pecked into the thing. And we'll come and we'll look at that woodpecker, and we'll hear him tapping on the wood there and making that. Jesus says, look at the birds. Look at the birds. And he says, Don't worry, because look at the birds, and what does it say there? It says, they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? He says, aren't you better than a bird? And God provides for the birds. If he's going to provide for the birds, he's going to provide for you. Look at the birds. Remember the provision or the providence of the Lord. Look at verse 28. He said, and why take thought for raiment, your clothes? Why take thought for your clothes? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. You see, Solomon had, the richest man on the earth, had any clothes that he wanted. He had designer clothes of that day. But look what it says in verse 30. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Look at the birds. Look at the flowers. See the provision of the Lord. See his providence. God will take care of you. And so, first of all, we seek first the kingdom of God. Secondly, we look at the provision or the providence of the Lord. And then thirdly, I want us to understand the problem of worry. The problem of worry. Look what it says there in verse number 8. He talks about that we can't add to the years of our life. And sometimes people have said it's talking about the stature, how tall we would be. I remember as a child, I was thrilled at the moment that I could jump and touch the door jamb up top. Any of you other young men, you just couldn't wait till the time you go past it and try to hit it, and then one day you were able to touch it. And I wish I could be 6 feet tall. Never made it. And you know what? Worrying didn't add one inch of my height. Some people worry about it, how long am I going to live? I remember when I was 33 years of age. I know it's a long time ago. But I remember when I was 33 years of age, I didn't think I was going to last any longer than 33. I thought, if Jesus died at 33, why should I live any longer than that? And that was a concern. And then I remember my father, when he turned 58, that was a concern to him. That's when his father died. You know what? We can't add to our lives by worrying about those things. God has set the day of our death. God has set the day of our home going, and we need to trust him for that. In fact, worrying doesn't change anything. Can I say that again? Worrying doesn't change anything. If anything it does, it causes you to be sick. It causes you to be immobilized. It causes you not to be able to function in a way that God would have you to do. And so, how do we deal with worry? Tonight we're going to look more at praying and the way that we're to handle worry in that way. But seeking first the kingdom of God, looking to the providence and provision of God, and worrying and knowing that worrying won't change a thing, worrying won't help a thing, and in fact, it is sinful, and God tells us not to do it. Turn as we conclude to Romans chapter 8. I find myself going more and more to this passage of Scripture. Passage I believe we memorized last year for camp. Verse 31, what shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? We look to Jesus Christ, and we see the salvation that was in Christ. If he gave us all things in Christ, if he gave salvation in Christ, everything else is piddly. Everything else is little. Everything else. And can I just mention this morning, there are no big things to God. There's no big problems to God. There's big problems to us. But there's nothing big, too big for God to handle. And so this morning, When you come to worry, when you come to anxiety, when you come to problems, and folks, this world is full of it. You look and you see that God sent His Son to die for us. If He had that great concern for you, then He's all these other things He's going to deal with too. Let us pray. Father, I ask You this morning, as many of us deal with worry, with anxiety, with problems, Father, we ask You that You would help us to have the right priorities, that we would seek first the kingdom of God. Father, that we would take and understand the providences of God, that we would look at the birds, look at the flowers, and see how You take care of them. And Father, that if You take care of them, You'll easily and gladly take care of us. And then, Father, we ask You that we would help us to see that worry doesn't solve anything. It doesn't help anything. In fact, it makes it worse. Father, help us to look to the cross. Help us to understand that Jesus loved us and gave Himself for us. And because of that, He'll give us all things much more greatly for us to enjoy. For it's in Christ's name we pray it. Amen.